this is Maggie.
And Ashley.
And Taylor.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it, all while under the influence. Yes. So, welcome, Taylor!
We have a guest!
So, our much-awaited, long-awaited guest is here. I shouldn't say long-awaited, but much-anticipated.
I will say we've never alluded to a guest as much as we did in the last episode because Taylor listened in for half of it.
Yeah.
We're like, we have to hurry because we were running behind. So we've really built it up for you. So you better deliver.
Well, it's an honor. Absolutely.
I mean, we are so excited to have you. I'm so sorry, Ashley, that my dog just every single episode he decides to lay down right where you need to sit.
Yeah, it's fine. He's cozy.
He doesn't even look comfortable. No, his face is just like plunged into the cushion.
Neither of us are happy right now, but we're also too stubborn to.
Both of you are like waiting for the other one to
give in.
Yeah.
Someone will give in.
Oh my god. Remember, just lean on his paws
and
that'll.
But I don't want to be mean.
So Argos hates when his paws are like sat on.
Oh, okay. I get that.
So he'll make.
Do you also hate it when your paws are sat on?
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable.
It's actually the worst.
So Taylor, you used to work with both of us at a previous employer.
Yeah.
We have never said where we used to work.
What it
is. He who must not be named. It was, I mean, great, great place. We still hang out with half the people there. We love that place. That's why you're here. But Taylor is an actual animal expert.
Yeah.
Which is not something that, I mean, we're just enthusiasts.
We're enthusiasts.
Most of our guests are enthusiasts.
You sat on his paw.
What have you done?
So sorry. I'm so sorry.
All he did was curl into a tighter ball.
Yeah, I thought he would move. He didn't. Yeah. So I'm just
kidding. You're the one that got pushed off the couch.
Argos, get off. Let's go. He's such a jerk.
Where am I, bed?
Oh,
you can come here.
Oh my god, what a
oh,
jerk.
Oh, he's all like huffy and puffy.
He is huffy and puffy.
Wow.
Huffy and puffy.
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, so Taylor's an expert.
I mean, there's a fine line between expert and enthusiast.
That's,
you know.
Fortunately, you've crossed that line, I think.
Okay.
Like, we were just talking about how you were in South Africa on behalf of saving the rhinos.
Trying to help. Trying to support the people that are helping on the ground.
You're always doing my best.
You're like,
I'm trying. Do you want to tell us anything about, like, what you do for a living?
Sure. I work at an environmental nonprofit on anti-wildlife trafficking work, specifically with rhinos, a little bit with elephants.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I just think that's rad.
Yeah.
Like, both of us work in tangentially, well, you work directly in wildlife protection, I work tangentially in habitat preservation.
We like nonprofits.
We like nonprofits, we like animals, that's why we're all here. So.
We're good people.
That's true.
Come on, our
that's
cheers
exactly
to that.
What we're
cheers
saying.
Cheers to us, really.
Yay.
Yeah.
Woo.
We're doing so good.
There we go.
All right, so
good stuff.
What are there? I feel like there was definitely a story that
I just dribbled on myself.
The camera caught that, I hope.
On the podcast.
Or you do a close up. Zoom in.
We should do.
You said you watched some of these episodes. I don't know if you've seen all the embarrassing shit we do, so.
My favorite is that no one would have noticed if you didn't say anything.
Yeah,
now,
I regretted it
now,
immediately.
Now
as soon as I called
rewind.
It out, I was like,
Now we're going to keep talking about it.
Great.
No, we'll be nice. We'll move on.
We'll move on because I think my dog just put himself on your bed.
Probably
pooping on your pillow.
No,
he's
down there.
Oh,
he's on the floor?
Yeah, he's on the floor. Still.
Okay, great. Yeah, I feel like there were definitely stories we had to talk about. Now that we have the time, Whereas last episode, there was no time.
We were cruising last time.
Yeah, what? I feel like there were fun things, fun stories we could talk about. You got anything? You got anything on deck? Any stories? Any things you've been doing recently? Like, you know, seeing an indigo bunting or a
birds.
Birds.
I was just making our, like, talking through logistics, and midway through, I was like, I just saw a goldfish. Because there was, like, flute was on the, like, little, my parking lot, like, on one of the little, like, front parts of the parking lot.
Oh,
it was just, like, unexpected. It was a lovely little surprise.
A little treat. Yeah. So, that's right. This morning, I thought, oh, this will make a good segue in the podcast. It was terrible, but here it comes.
That's where we are now, where we're, like, we think of things, and we're, like, save it for the
podcast. Save it for the podcast. So, I was brushing Argos the other day, and this dog has a million and one hairs, and so I put some of his hairs in the bushes in my backyard, and I saw a bird this morning come collect that fluff.
It's nest material.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Helping the birds.
I was really excited, and I just watched it. It was just a little song sparrow, yeah. But then watched it flit off into the tree and then beyond. It was lovely.
Were you putting the fur in the bushes for nest material, or yes. Were you just like, this is where the fur could go after I brush my dog?
Great question. glad you asked. No, I intentionally put it in the bushes because I've done this before with his fur, and I've seen birds take it for nest material.
That's awesome.
Nice. Because if anything's going to be nice and warm and cozy, it's Argos's fur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As we know from this podcast, it's like 800 degrees when you sit next to him.
Oh, yeah. Very insulated.
So, yeah, it's great.
Actually, I saw a lot of osprey this weekend, past weekend.
Yeah?
With, like, fish in their talons.
Me too!
Very exciting.
They got lots of chicks at home, I'm sure. They got a feed.
It was very exciting.
I took Argos down to Mason Neck State Park.
Okay.
Which has like a little beach, and there were osprey all over the place.
Oh, nice. So good.
I love the noise that they make. So I used
make
to
it.
Hear. No. wait, it's like really high pitched. It's like.
Nothing. So good.
Nailed it. That was it. Perfect. Taylor's here. I'm really nervous. Like, we have a guest I have to look cool in front of.
No, I need that osprey call as my text tone.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? You get an email, it's like... nice!
Wow.
Taylor, can you make any bird noises?
No, but I did see a dipper last weekend. I was in Colorado.
What's a dipper?
It's America's only aquatic songbird. And they dip. So they go like...
I thought you were going to say they have tobacco in their mouth.
What was that again?
There's no audio. They just dip. They dunk themselves.
When I dip, you dip, we dip. Yeah, like, that's essentially what just happened.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. You were in Colorado last week?
I was, yeah.
What were you doing there?
I turned old, 30, and I saw... High five.
I turned 30 in a month.
Ooh!
Look at
get
you,
ready.
Little young bucks.
I saw a show at Red Rocks. Did some hiking.
Nice.
Yeah,
oh, that sounds really fun.
Well,
that's a great way to bring in 30.
Yeah, saw some dippers. Saw a Western tanager.
Whoa!
This is the right audience.
Yes. You are the only people that would give that amazing reaction to me saying that. So thank you so much.
Oh my god, I texted Ashley like a month and a half ago where I was like, I saw a scarlet tanager in the woods. They are so beautiful.
Oh my god.
Love tanagers.
Oh, wow, yeah, right audience.
Nice.
We're here for
nice.
It.
Mm. I've told you the cedar waxwing story, right?
They are one of my favorite birds.
But I've told you my incident with the cedar waxwing.
Maybe. I probably don't remember it. Go ahead, tell me.
I don't know if it's,
you haven't.
I don't know if it's been on this podcast. I'll do the short version. So I was driving home once to upstate New York.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah? Okay, well, Taylor hasn't heard it.
I definitely have not.
I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
So I was driving, I'll do the short version. I was driving home to upstate New York. It's a 6.5-hour drive, give or take. Depends on how fast I go. And I was like 20 minutes from
home. She was
home.
Going real fast on this drive.
It's 20 minutes from home. So I'm like in the city of Syracuse, like right outside the suburbs that I'm from. And a bird hits my window. It hits my window and gets stuck under the windshield wiper. And I can see it just like out of the corner of my eye. And like, I don't do well in this situation. So I'm like panicking. I'm at a stoplight. I call my dad and I'm like, Dad, what do I do? He's like, well, pull over and like, take it out. And I'm like, I can't do that. I can't touch it. So I decided to put the windshield wipers on.
No!
No! Oh my god.
Thinking it'll release.
No!
And now the brain just bumps over my windshield. And this point, I'm like 10 minutes from home. I'm panicking. In all of my family's cars, we always have like a stuffed animal in our car, like that's our thing. So I can't really see it. I can only see a little bit. I can see a little bit of red. So I'm assuming it's bleeding.
Jesus
it's
Christ.
Rough.
Yeah.
I get home. I immediately get out of my car. I go find my dad. And I'm like, Dad, like, help me. He, like, the slowest walker, slowly meanders over to the car. He looks at it. And then he goes back inside. I'm, like, in the yard watching from a distance. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I want to identify this bird.
Oh.
He goes inside. He gets his bird book. He comes back and goes, oh, you killed a cedar waxwing. These guys are pretty rare. I'm like,
oh.
Dad, what are you doing? So then he takes it, and then I thought he'd, like, get rid of it. And he, like, puts it on the side of the house. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, they're rare. I want your mother to see it. So my mom comes home, like, an hour and a half later, and she comes inside, and I'm like, the dad show you the dead bird? She's like, yeah, I don't know why the fuck you want me to think that. She's like, why did you think that I'd want to see that? And I was like, I don't know. God. But yeah, so now cedar waxwings are a thing in my family because I, quote unquote, killed one.
You turned on the windshield wipers.
That was your first.
No. It was dead before.
That's some like medieval times torture.
No. You tortured it in its final moments.
No, it was
actually.
It broke its neck on impact for sure.
Well, if it didn't, it for sure broke it being
windshield
wiped.
I did not expect to be attacked for my story.
Neither did that bird.
Yeah.
All right. Jackie, what do you have for us? Because we need to move on.
Let's talk about some animals. Some animals that are alive.
I've never been accused of killing that bird.
You definitely did. How else do you think it died? You think it was dead and just like got thrown into your car?
I think it was dead when it flew into my car.
I'm sure that the bird's family has a different representation of that story.
Continue.
It was just flying along when all of a sudden a car comes driving by at 75 miles an hour in its airspace.
Oh, so now it's... Anyway, we're moving on.
All right, here's your clue.
It's never been so tense in this room, just so you know, Taylor.
I'm sorry if I contributed to
this. I think you did, but...
I can leave.
Great start.
I can't wait to hear what your animal is, but we gotta start with mine.
Yeah, sorry.
So, here we go. I think this is, like, the least creative but most descriptive animal name.
Honestly, I'll take it.
So, you're gonna have to just, like, if you're looking at an animal and you have a bunch of adjectives to describe this thing, get yourself in that mindset.
Good.
So, here's your clue. It's a large aquatic insect.
Giant water bug.
Did you get it? Got it immediately. What the fuck?
Yes!
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 What the fuck? Also, he's beat me twice now, because he beat me on the last episode. I don't know if you could tell, but...
That's one shot and three beers in, by the
way. Yes!
Alright, that's how you do it.
Just for those keeping count.
Ooh! Jack, if you're keeping score at home.
Thank God, Jack, because I don't think I would have gotten there, to be honest.
That is great. So it's also, its Latin name is Lethoceras de Rolle.
Yeah?
Sure.
Totally.
Okay, why did I choose it? It's a bug that eats fish.
Wait, what?
Yeah, get ready. Buckle up. So we'll get there. But the giant water bugs, they comprise of over 170 species in the family Bellomustidae.
That's my favorite one.
It's a good one.
It is a good species. It is a good family of bugs. This bug, they are grayish brown. They're pretty flat.
Okay.
They're sometimes leaf shaped, and this is for camouflage purposes while they are stalking or hunting or just waiting for prey to pass on by. They come in two varieties. One is only about 2 centimeters long, so like. It's less than your fingernail tip. And the other one...
Giant.
No, they're not giant.
Just saying.
The other one is 12 centimeters or 4 inches. So, like, I don't know.
That's giant.
That's
a bug.
That's kind of a
big bug.
That's a big bug. Yeah, that's a big bug. So they have six legs like all insects, but their hindquarters are made for swimming. You know, when you're in the water, you got to be able to do that. They are a true bug. Do we know what that means?
I know that there's a difference. I have a friend who studied entomology. And
who's also a friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, Al. But do I know the difference? No. I just know that I get it wrong often.
Yeah.
Enough to be yelled at, so I don't know that I can explain the difference.
I researched it, but that was when I was sober, and I don't know where that window is now in all of my open tabs, and we don't have, I don't have the time.
No, I don't think
to go find it. So I will just move on with, they practice extra oral digestion. Do we know what that is, folks?
So,
extra.
Is that like what a spider does?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to.
He's too advanced for this podcast.
I told you guys, he's an animal.
It was a guess. It was a guess.
How did you get? How would one guess? Oh, that's what spiders do. Like, okay.
Already roasted on this podcast just for answering
the question. Welcome to the club. What's new? I just want to point out, though, that also friend of the pod and mutual friend of ours, Alan, I was talking to him about like my hints and stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, they do extra oral digestion. I don't know what that is. And he was like,
that's what spiders do.
I was like, huh? How do you guys know this?
Do I just know about spiders?
How do men know this?
Is this a guy thing? I don't know.
Extra oral digestion. Okay, for those of you who don't know what this is, it's the ability to digest nutrients outside of their own bodies, aka.
Yeah, keep going, because that didn't help.
I know, it didn't help me either, so I was like, they pierce their victims with their sharp rostrum or beak.
You'd become the victim.
Yeah, I won't be pierced by any rostrums.
And keep then your rostrum to yourself.
I may not. And then they ingest, they don't ingest. What word was I trying to type here? No.
Excrete?
That's almost it. But like, so, okay, they've put the rostrum beak into the prey. You're my example. And they,
sorry.
I don't know. I'm inject? So sorry. Inject!
Fuck. Oh, shit.
I clearly didn't know what I was typing here. They inject digestive enzymes that basically start the breakdown process that we do inside our tummies.
Gotcha.
So that they can then, you know, eat that. All right. They
slurp it.
Yeah, so it's more like a smoothie that they're making for themselves.
It is.
Pre-blender.
Yeah.
They learn to hunt by starting with small prey like tadpoles. And now here it gets interesting because those little babies, they are actually being reared by the father's water bug.
What?
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day out there.
Yeah. Who knows when this episode is coming out. They, as I said, the father bug.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, do they have a white collar?
That was like a very
father bug.
Experience. Father bug.
They're pretty involved. The mom's lives are limited to feeding and breathing. Breathing. I'm sure they have to breathe.
That's the dream.
I know. When your existence is purely feeding and breathing. And listen to this. This is disgusting. The female lays the eggs on the back of the male, who makes sure that his backpack of babies is kept moist and aerated by caressing them and swimming them up to the surface as needed. Don't worry, those are all my own words.
Oh. What? I don't like any of them.
No.
A backpack of babies, though?
Okay, backpack, so you know backpack, the surname toad?
Yeah, I fucking hate them.
Oh, do you know surname toad?
Mm-hmm.
It's the most just...
Taylor's the expert.
Taylor is the expert. He's like,
I should have, like, dug deeper for my next animal.
It is... So the surname toad is disgusting. Like, I have that absolute fear of all the holes in its back. That's what this stupid giant water bug dad looks like with his backpack of babies. I don't know why I chose this, but... Oh, God. I hate it. I hate it so much. Okay. So, one species in Asia, the dads will, like, actually just deposit the eggs on the surface vegetation, and he'll monitor as needed. He'll sprinkle them with water, keeping them moist. And then, let's see, he'll also use a smelly substance to deter predators like ants from the clutch of eggs. I later found out this smelly substance, hang on, it's the water bug's ability to squirt unpleasant smelling fluid from its anus.
Oh.
Boom.
So, just like a really, so liquidy fart.
That's awesome. I'm glad you said it, so I didn't have to.
You're like, somebody had to say it. Liquidy fart.
And they're able to do so for a few feet.
Oh!
Feet?
This is a 4-inch bug.
That's too much.
That's a...
That's too far.
Man.
That's too far to fart.
That's a far fart.
Farthest fart.
Oh my god, I'm spilling salt.
Keep going. We don't have time.
Okay. So, if a female lays eggs, but there's actually no male around to take care of the clutch, she will destroy the eggs. To get rid of competition, you know, because there could be females in that clutch of eggs. Yeah. And she'll wait around until a new male presents himself.
I feel like, at least like in the mammalian world, like I feel like it's the opposite. Like it's the males that are like going around, you know,
right?
Killing
Isn't
babies.
That crazy? I mean, this
now
is
it's the ladies taking control.
This is a role reversal.
I like it.
Males will work to protect eggs from intruders and attack with their Superman-like front legs. So as I mentioned, those hindquarters of theirs are good for swimming. The front legs are good for punching.
Oh.
They will spend more time with, they, indeed, it's actually like they will punch a female.
They have like little, like,
if she's even.
Little like boxer gloves?
Yeah, they come in size like petite, extra small.
Good one.
Almost took you seriously. Okay, some males like try to steer clear of like crazy female advances because these females are, as quote unquote described, lust crazed.
Oh.
So, you know, they're just constantly that guys, their sole existence is to breed and to feed.
To
breed and feed.
That's like
breed and feed.
Freedom ring.
Freed breeding. Oh my god, what does that mean? Cut that out.
No, I'm keeping it in.
So the males try to avoid these females because they're so insane, incensed with sex or something, I don't know. They have no other purpose! However, there ultimately comes a time when the males just kind of decide, fuck this, I've dealt with these eggs long enough, I'm gonna go about my business in my life. And it's actually, usually they say fuck this because they have been indeed tempted by a female. Haven't you all?
Yes. Plead the fifth.
So, that's a little bit about the GWBs, but I want to fill this out with some fun facts.
I thought the rest
those
of this was fun.
Very fun.
Oh, good. Here's even some funner facts.
Oh my gosh.
They can deliver a painful, though non-toxic, bite between the toes of unsuspecting human feet.
Don't like that.
They are called toe biters.
No. Yeah.
That is a fun name.
Did you
have.
Know that?
You know how I know that?
Did you get bit?
I'm going to embarrass myself early in the podcast.
Good, yes.
I'm part of a Facebook group called Florida Insect Arachnid Identification.
Wow.
And
naturally?
People post water bugs a lot, and they're like, what is this? And people are like, don't touch it, because it'll bite the shit out of you.
It'll bite the shit out of you.
I'm also in a Florida turtle identification group, a Florida snake.
Are you from Florida?
Sadly.
Okay.
Sadly,
yes. For the love of God, at least be from Florida.
Yeah, so I'm in all the Florida ID groups.
Good.
And do you help people ID them? Or do you just get tired of it?
Mostly I laugh at the ignorance.
Yeah.
In Florida?
Yeah, right.
Chance familiar. You've never seen
that.
Pretty guess. Yeah.
So giant water bugs can also feign death. They become rigid for several minutes if removed from the water.
Dramatic.
So yeah, I know. Don't put if you've got a water bug in your hand, don't put it back because it'll bite your toes.
What's your dad?
Let's see. One species of giant water bug is boiled in salt water and eaten by people in South and Southeast Asia as a specialty cuisine.
Oh.
That's what I'm going to leave you with.
Oh, that's the last one.
Unless, of course, you do want to know. Earlier, I mentioned, like, they eat fish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't actually touch more on
felt
that.
Felt like that was a big
part. Yeah. We just kind of went right past
that.
They pierced their victims.
To come back.
I don't know where. I guess I didn't write it down. I guess I didn't, actually.
Seemed like really significant.
So they'll even eat ducklings.
Okay, more significant.
That's extremely significant.
Some would say extremely significant. They'll eat small crustacean, how do I say the word? They'll eat small crustaceans.
Yeah.
And ducklings and fish, and they're like really voracious eaters.
Ducklings? Are there videos?
Do they just like
of a water bug eating a duckling?
Well, that's what I know.
I feel like there's some kind of animal that like injects prey, then like it like slowly dissolves and like sucks it dry. That's what I'm picturing. I don't think that's what happens, but they're so small.
Yeah, a 4-inch bug eating a duckling?
Like ducklings are small, but they're not that small.
No, yeah, exactly.
Never to the point where like you could be eaten by a bug.
Well, here's a video.
Unless
of one
you were just
a snake.
A snake?
Those are long.
Guys, they're vicious.
This is great for
this is
potato
video.
Quality.
This is good for podcasts.
What the hell? This video is terrible.
It's
just
so
wait.
Bad.
Let's just wait.
This is like a Bigfoot video.
There, get over it.
Ah!
Oh!
What is that snake? Why? That's a tiny snake. That's such a small snake.
It's still a bug eating a snake.
It is still a bug eating a snake. You cannot argue with that.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
It's too God.
When I Googled this, a bunch of options came up for what these bugs eat. Oh, eating a turtle. They also eat turtles, apparently.
What?
I did know this as
Ew.
Well. Here's your image.
I don't want to see that.
I
like turtles better than bugs.
I like turtles. I like turtles better than bugs.
Cut that. I'm walking out.
Guys, Taylor just left. Stormed out.
Oh my
Slammed
god.
The
oh
door.
Wait, that's a fish. Sorry. I just spit earlier.
So they eat a lot of things.
Right. There's the turtle. Yeah.
Are they endangered?
No, they're fine. They're all
They eat everything else. They make things endangered.
Right? I feel like they're a problem.
They're all over the world. They're in a lot of national parks.
All right, I gotta ask. Why did you pick them?
Where did they come from? So, you know that book that you and I got?
Yes.
A couple weeks, months ago? I don't know when. It's called The Modern Bestiary. Is that it?
Sure. I'll show you later.
We'll show you.
Okay.
I couldn't decide what animal I wanted to do. I wasn't feeling compelled or interested.
Mm-hmm.
So I just opened it up.
And you were like,
I was like, giant water bug. It eats fish. And, that's crazy. You know, I was like, all right, I'll do that.
All right.
So that's it about the GWBs. I would love to turn it over to Taylor.
Let's see.
For the next animal.
I'm so excited to hear from our expert.
And you keep saying the E word, and I don't like that because that
expletive.
Builds
expectations.
Yeah.
Expectations, expletives, it's all in here.
It's all in there. All right.
I would like to just note that either the cameras were or were not rolling, and Taylor was like, can we swear on this?
No, we fucking can.
My mother does watch this, cut that, please. All right. My animal.
Yeah.
So just a hint. No, like.
Just a hint.
All right.
But you just came up with.
Three words.
Oh.
Three words. Ready?
Giant water bug.
I mean, good combination of three words, but that's not it. Furry. Loquacious. And horny.
Furry.
It's a mammal.
It's something that
Correct.
Talks. It's something
okay.
that talks.
It's a mammal.
A lot.
It's a mammal.
It's a talkative mammal.
Mm-hmm.
Talkative mammal
that's like wants to get at
really
it.
Really randy.
A randy mammal.
A horny mammal.
I feel like
could it be some kind of like I don't know why I went to baboons.
Is it a bug?
No, it's not.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
But just think the word, think of that last word.
Horny.
Was
yeah.
horny.
Was horny.
It's got multiple meanings.
Does it have horns?
So it has horns.
Is it bighorn sheep?
No.
Is it a pronghorn? Is it
no.
a moose?
No.
Is it a, who's the antlers? That was wrong.
Loquacious.
Sorry.
Horny.
Loud and horn covered. Markhor.
No.
We already did Markhor.
Yeah, we did. So it's some kind of the one that begins with an A. Fuck.
Antlers?
No.
Anteater?
That's not what I was saying.
What are you trying to say?
There's Artiodactyla. Yeah?
It's a big word.
That's loquacious.
Fuck. Another hint.
Super endangered.
Super endangered.
Oh. Yeah, like super.
A bongo.
No. Great animal though.
Right? A super endangered animal
with horns.
That's really
like all about it.
Oh, is it like some kind of muskox or something? Because they're super furry.
No.
Argos is over these clothes.
So sick of a stalking.
He's like, could you not?
Super endangered. What continent are they found on?
Asia.
Wait, there's one that's like a bongo, but it's not a bongo, it's something different. And it's called a thing.
So she's on the right track with bongo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No.
You were like.
Totally wrong track.
Yeah, okay.
Heading to another destination.
He was like, I just appreciate a bongo.
Yeah, I mean, bongo's a good animal, so.
Good.
Yeah.
Is it like a Sumatran rhino?
Boom.
Yeah.
Got it. Nice.
All right.
We weren't horny, we went two horns.
Too many horns.
Yeah. Well,
They do have two horns.
They are the only Asian rhino species with two horns.
They have two, because there's the greater longhorned, right? And then there's the Javan.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the three that are in Asia.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yes!
Well
done! Oh my
god,
he's our rhino expert! He's talking about!
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Okay. Gotten there sooner.
Oh,
but see, this is like not a species I actually work on, but it's one I wish.
Oh man!
So I'm purely an enthusiast.
Yeah. This is great. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us everything.
Yeah. So it is.
We're both gonna be like.
It's a hairy rhino.
Yeah.
Like the babies are especially hairy, like super furry, and they're hilarious looking. They have giant bug eyes. And they just look like an accident, like of a rhino. Like they're so,
an accident of a rhino.
They're so funny.
They're not supposed to be like this.
Yeah. Oh my God. The closest existing rhino relative to the woolly rhino, like the ancient woolly rhino.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Where were woolly rhinos found? Were they just
where were woolly rhinos?
where?
Oh, look at those babies.
They're so ugly.
It's so weird.
It's weird because like babies are supposed to be like, you know, like, oh, like, I love you, and you're like, oh.
They look like kind of charcoaled.
They look like little aliens. Well, they're furrier when they're born.
Okay. Oh.
And then their hair turns, they're like dark brown when they're born, their hair. And they lose some of their hair, and then it's more reddish as they get older.
Cute.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I lose eyes.
I know. They're out there.
They're out there. They're bugging. Right. They're bugging.
Okay, sorry. So where were woolly rhinos?
Woolly rhinos were found. Siberia.
Okay, so Asia.
Yeah.
Not just...
Mm-hmm.
Were they ever in North America?
I feel like yes, but I don't. I should check Wikipedia on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should definitely check Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Because we had woolly mammoths over here, so.
The mammoths.
Why not?
Yeah, I think so. It was all kind of.
They're all over
the world. It was a land bridge, ice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm sure we did.
Yeah.
Sure. Totally.
Okay.
There we go.
That was their closest relative.
Yeah, well, they're the closest living rhino to the woolly rhinos.
There.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, got it.
But they're their own genus compared to all the other rhino species,
wow.
Of which there are five. Yeah, and they used to live throughout Southeast Asia, all of Borneo, Sumatra, and so it's kind of a depressing story, so I know this, I don't want to like it too depressing.
Oh no, we can, it's okay, that's
yeah.
Why we're drinking.
But they're super cool, they're super funny, they're loud, they have all these different, like, they're the most vocal of any rhinos, like they're constantly making noise.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Look at me!
They have like three main...
I'm looking at you to be like, wow, that's cool.
Oh, gotcha.
They have like three main noises. One is like what they call like an eep noise. Like
you're
going
to need to...
It's just
you're
like
going
to
need to show
well,
us.
It's just like... Meh, meh, meh.
Okay,
like,
all right. That's cute.
Yeah. Then one is what they call a whale, but like W-H-A-L-E, because it sounds like a humpback whale.
Oh, so it's not just like a whaling wall. It's just like, it's actually...
Yeah, it's like really, really needy and obnoxious.
Sounds like Argos. Yeah.
And then they have this like whistle thing that's like really loud that's sort of like scared or something. But, yeah.
Funky whistle.
What's a scared whistle?
Like it's kind of called a whistle blow. So it's like a whistle and then they make another noise. I don't know.
Blow!
Nailed it.
That was exactly what they sound like.
Nailed it.
I think so. Can you imagine hearing a rhino just go, whistle, blow! What the fuck was that? That's good, that's good.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, apparently it's like super loud though.
Nice.
I mean, they gotta warn their neighbor.
Yeah.
They're big too.
Okay.
But they're tiny.
Oh.
They only like...
Sorry.
Right after she said they're big. You're like, they're tiny. That was so much very polite. You're completely wrong.
Size
are they?
I mean, they're big compared.
They're tiny compared to other rhinos.
Yeah.
But they're big compared to humans.
I'm sorry.
Right?
They're like less than 5 feet tall.
Oh.
Keep it in.
How much do they weigh?
I don't know. Whatever a 5 foot tall rhino weighs.
I feel like that's not fair. I just wondering.
They're big.
They're tiny.
I'm sorry.
The comedic Tommy Taylor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, perfect. Ashley, what else would you like to say about these rhinos?
I've never seen them. I have seen Jobin rhino poop.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
That is actually really cool. What did it look like? Did you know, you probably knew this, that rhinos in Africa have, like, they go to the bathroom? That's at least what our friends in Kenya told us. They all poop in the same spot.
They have middens.
Middens?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that is right.
Mm-hmm. And it's, so they, at least in Kenya, they called it the rhino toilet. And it was just, like, this giant, giant pile of rhino poop.
Well done, rhinos.
Yeah. So do Jobin rhinos do this?
I don't know.
Okay.
They're solitary.
Well, Sumatran. Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh, sorry. Sumatran rhinos.
Yeah.
Oh, Sumatran rhinos I have seen.
Oh!
You've seen Sumatran rhinos?
Not in the wild. They were at, like, a rescue.
Where?
This Sumatra. Is the first you're mentioning
Wake
this?
Wake Canvas?
There's, like, a Sumatran rhino. I mean, I don't know how many there's Sumatran rhino rescues.
There's one right now.
That one.
Wait, you went to Wake Canvas National Park?
It was in 2013, so maybe.
Well, I am extremely jealous.
That's really cool.
That's amazing. Tell us more.
When I was in college, I went to school for animal behavior and I did a bunch of travel. And my first big travel was to Indonesia. And we went to Sumatra, Borneo, and Java. But when we were in Sumatra, we went to like the whatever the rescue was.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we got to go around the enclosure and like meet the birds and stuff like that. I mean, there's not much to tell, and then I saw them, and it was really cool.
So how big were they?
They were, like...
5 feet tall?
They were 5 feet tall.
How much did they weigh?
And they weighed... I feel like they were, like, two Argoses together. Like, because they were definitely thicker than Argos. Like, width-wise.
So if two Argoses were standing next to each other, or like, back to butt to butt?
No, the first one. Okay. Like, they were stacked next to each other. Maybe a third one.
Argos, can you get out?
And then, like, a little bit taller.
This is really helpful for the listeners, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right?
Argos,
great podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, come here. Come here.
Oh, look at him. He wants to sleep.
It's okay. He's been sleeping all day. Oh,
my God. He's a huge.
He
no, they're definitely taller.
They're definitely taller.
Definitely taller. But I don't know what else to say.
He's a miniature pony.
That's very cool.
That is so neat.
But that's... At the time you went, was the only place where they're trying to like rehabilitate them and have a captive breeding program, to do it. And so it's this whole, it's a huge history of like the trying to, capture and captive breed Sumatran rhinos. But it was heavily criticized for a long time because they captured about 40 something in the 80s and most of them died.
Oh God.
Yes, they're small. That's right. Yeah, why well, so it many?
There was like a great plan in the beginning, and it was like, oh, we're going to cooperate between Indonesia and Malaysia, and we're going to cooperate between US and UK zoos, who are like footing the bill for this whole thing. And then once they started capturing the rhinos, it was like less cooperation was happening. Mm. Yeah, so it started out really awful, honestly, like terrible. But then Cincinnati Zoo was the first place to ever breed rhinos in Sumatra rhinos in captivity in over 100 years.
Whoa.
Shit.
Good job, Cincinnati. Yeah,
they cracked the code.
Oh, hi, you did something right.
They did, yeah. A woman named Dr. Terry Roth figured out their sort of like reproductive secrets. And basically...
What a thing to put on your resume.
These are animals that are just like asking to go extinct, unfortunately. No. They're like one of those things where like everything is like against pandas? Them. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're
the rhino world.
Exactly.
Fucking pandas, man.
It's honestly for these Sumatra rhinos, it's kind of like if you don't use it, you lose it. Or whatever the phrase is.
Oh, use okay. It, whatever. So they forget how to use their penis?
Well, basically, yeah, the males have low sperm counts.
No.
And are bad at mating.
No.
The females, if they don't mate regularly, develop, like, tumors.
No!
In their, like, reproductive tracts. And then both? Become infertile. Yeah, and so, and literally the only way for a female to become, in heat or whatever, like become fertile, is to be in the presence of a male.
So she has.
But they're notoriously. I mean, they're super low populations. They're super, you know, spread out.
And
so it's
solitary.
Not like they're running into each other every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just been it's
very chance.
Wow.
So it's kind of like everything is going against them. Then they brought them in captivity,
God,
and
like me.
They were there. Like the comedy.
Just like, I'm just going to take a swing of my beer. And,
this is good. Land shark.
My God. Yeah.
That sounds so terrible. And just like, that's poor evolution right now.
I mean, it's people. That ruined everything.
I mean,
had it going. They were doing all right.
We do tend to do that.
It does happen.
We've done that across the globe. So I'm guessing then their population is so sparse and they're not running into each other. Probably because of habitat degradation, human encroachment, habitat degradation being a monoculture expansion.
Yes. Yeah.
Indonesia is rife with it. So, yeah. Everything is stacked against these rhinos.
Yeah, and there's been reluctance to cooperate internationally, unfortunately, in the past. And so, anyway...
It's really loud. You can wait.
What is that?
That's the clock.
What bird is it? Don't look.
I looked. It's a robin.
Oh, it's stupid robin.
I don't know where I was. They're super cool.
Yes.
They're like, I don't know. They're so funny and so fun and like charismatic. And again, they're like making noises all the time. They like roll around in mud. But they're like so particular and sensitive. It's kind of hilarious. Aww. Like.
Relatable.
Like they, when they had them in the Cincinnati Zoo, they had to build these like multi-million-dollar shades for them because they couldn't be in sunlight because they would like get eye damage.
No,
and,
I mean,
and
you,
like they're just so sensitive to any sort of
disturbance. Don't you live in like the tropics kind of?
So,
thing?
But they're
so
deep
they live
in
the
rainforest.
So
yeah.
They have canopy cover. These are a very cool species of rhino.
Yeah,
they're weird.
Good stuff.
They're weird. Why I like
that's
them.
Best kind.
All right.
That was great.
Final thoughts.
They're really trying hard to bring the species back from the brink.
Good.
And I truly hope it happens.
Yeah.
They need more money.
Charismatic.
And they're amazing and deserve to survive. And there are good people working on it. But, you know.
But you're not one of them. What the hell, Taylor?
Oh, wow. Wow, you really just
dug
that dagger. Oh, my God.
I don't know that.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But you support.
I support. We're educating the masses.
That's what this podcast is for. Yeah,
it is.
25 listeners.
And for all your $1 billion listeners, they can make some donations.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Let's hear it. What's the clue? All
right. This is... Are you ready? The OG feathered dinosaur.
What eon are we in?
I mean, they're alive today. I'm not doing an extinct animal.
I know. It was a joke.
It was a good one.
OG for, is that like legitimate or is it like a joke?
I don't know.
OG feathered dinosaur? So like what was a, what's something feathered that's lizardy?
Cassowary?
No, she's done that already.
I have done that already. Okay. But you're on the right track of like a very reptilian feeling
bird.
Yeah.
Where is it? What continent?
It's South America. Do you want another clue? I guessed it earlier tonight.
Yes. In this episode or the last episode?
Last episode.
You were here.
I've jettisoned all that.
You're like, you're a beer I'm on? Should take another shot before this.
Seriously. South America.
She guessed it earlier tonight.
Oh,
and it wasn't like, looking back at it, I shouldn't have guessed it. I was just nervous.
So my hint earlier when you were here was...
I think I derailed you.
Was a hang ten.
It was that great bird. Oh God, what was it? It was a good guess.
I think it's a great bird. Two thumbs up.
Oh, what was it? You were here, and I said, oh, that's a good guess. Begin with an H or a C?
H.
My favorite of the birds. Oh my God, I've had too many drinks.
I know.
To be fair, it's not a common name.
But when you said it, I knew it.
Yeah. I mean, when you give up.
What color is it?
Oh, it's a lot of colors.
It's a lot of colors.
Do you know what it is?
Hootson?
Yes!
Yeah,
yes! That was it.
Watson, okay.
That was it. Thank you.
Watson.
Yay! Look at that team effort. Good job, guys.
That's I feel like Jimmy Neutron doing like a brain blast.
Brain blast. Nailed it. Now, I'd like either of you to spell it.
Hoatzin?
Yeah. H-O-A-T-Z-I-N.
H-O-A-T.
God damn it.
Yeah.
The first
That's why I call it a Hoatzin, because yeah. I've only read it. I've never heard it said out loud.
The first time I ever learned about it, I heard it first, and I spelled it so incredibly wrong.
How did you spell it?
I spelled it with a W.
No.
Because I think I heard Watson.
Sure.
I don't know. I spelled it wrong.
H-O-W-A-T-S-O-N?
Yeah.
Hoatzin?
Yeah.
Watson. It's spelled like it sounds.
Naturally. So the Hoatzin,
we're smart.
Or the Opis locomus hoisin. Basically, it's a tropical swamp bird, and it's one of my favorites. Anyway.
Because so what is a swamp bird?
It's just,
tropical
it's
swamp bird.
Tropical yeah. swamp bird, because it's just very unique and very old, I guess.
They're smelly.
You
right?
like old things.
They are smelly, and I do like old things.
Uh-huh.
I don't like smelly old things. It's important to,
okay.
to separate. So what do they look like? So they are pheasant-sized, about 65 centimeters or 26 inches in length. They have a very long neck and a very small head. So think of your chickens. Think of your, well, pheasants. Birds.
What about a quail?
Or a quail. Bigger than a quail, I'd
bigger
say.
Than a quail. I mean, I figured pheasants are
not
bigger than quails.
They're not as plump.
Not as plump. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little trimmer.
I just like quails.
I do like quails. But really, they're very wild looking. There's you asked Taylor, what color? I couldn't give you a straight answer. For one, they have a bald blue face. Start there.
Love
they
that.
Have maroon eyes. They have a spiky, rufous-colored crest of feathers on their head. They have orangish red feathers running down their neck and dark feathers running down their back and onto their wings. But under their wings, it's more of that rufous colored, lighter orange.
Love it.
And then their tail feathers are rusty emerald, because why not throw some green in there?
Rusty emerald.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah? Are you spilling beer all over
nope,
my carpet?
Nope, it's an empty beer.
No worries. I was drinking on my carpet like 4 days ago, so clearly this is not a thing here. I watched it on the camera, and I rushed home, and then he ate it all.
Oh my God.
Dr. Gross.
Why?
Anyway. Oh, and then there's the tips of their feathers are like kind of like a cream colored.
Hmm.
So they got, they're a wide array of colors. Are you looking?
That's him.
Are they good?
Very punk rock. Great? Very punk rock.
Have you seen one?
No, I've always wanted to.
Oh, they're so fucking cool.
Where'd you see one?
I saw one in Peru. I was there with the organization that we worked for. But anyway, so like I mentioned before, they're kind of like the OG feathered dinosaurs. So like they're doing now, did you see on Apple TV, they have basically Planet Earth for dinosaurs.
But it's prehistoric Earth or something?
Yeah, it's all animated dinosaurs, but it's narrated by David Attenborough. I've only watched 1.5 episodes. I was so incredibly invested.
I am so excited to watch that.
But so, like, the velociraptors are the ones, or, like, the raptor ones are all the ones that are, like, they're not feathered, you know? They're feathering all the dinosaurs because they're like, maybe this actually is what happened. But that, look at the Hoatzin, and that, it feels like the inspiration.
Okay.
Totally.
Which is where my clue came from.
Nice. So, can I interrupt you before you actually tell us about this bird? Where'd you come up with, why'd you choose this bird?
This animal? Hoatzins have been on my list for a while. Okay. Mainly because Hoatzin, like, one of the first, like, animal behavior classes that I had, Hoatzins came up, so they've always been, like, you know, in my zeitgeist of, like,
cool.
I like these. Nice. And then I've seen them, so.
Okay.
They're just, perfect. You know.
Love it.
A double duty bird. I don't know. That's my reason.
Double duty bird.
A double duty bird. So where can you find it? I mentioned swamps. Also riparian forests, so they like to be by water, mangroves along the Amazon and the Orinoco basins in South America.
Cool.
So like I mentioned, I saw them in Peru and they were hanging out on trees.
Awesome.
Cool stuff, right?
Jealous.
It was when I saw the giant river otters too.
Rubbing it in.
I know. What a cool life list of things.
Yeah.
So what do they do? What do these big old pheasanty birds living on the water do? They're very noisy birds, so in theme. Mm-hmm. Make a variety of calls, including groans, croaks, hisses.
Whoa, that was a good croak.
And first grunts. It's not our first time, be fair. I was like waiting. I was like, is Maggie going to fill in the space here?
Yes.
But apparently whenever they make like a noise, there's usually like an associated wing movement. Like,
oh,
they're one of those people that like,
they're one of those people.
They're a tail. You know,
glad you said it.
Like, I don't want to say it, but animated.
Yeah.
I am Italian.
Yeah. Are you Italian?
No.
So no. Surprising.
I am Polish and English and all the Northern whites.
All the whites.
Just all the whites. I'm the helmsman of Europe.
Nice. Slow zoom in hunting. So they're a folivore. Who knows what that means?
Leaves.
Yes.
Leaves.
Really? I didn't know that.
So they're eating primarily leaves, according to what? So they eat primarily leaves and then also fruits and flowers. According to one Venezuelan study, they eat 82% leaves.
Okay.
8% fruits. 10% flowers. So
I actually did not know that, and that blows my mind because they look like a bird that would eat like lizards and things like that.
They look predatory.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Now that you mention that, I am more shocked than I was originally. They don't look like they would eat leaves. They look like they would predate something. They predate leaves.
Damn.
It's basically the moral of the story. But because they eat primarily leaves, Hoatzins host a special bacteria in the front part of their gut that breaks down and ferments this vegetable material, similar to the way rumens do. So the way like cows break things down. But the issue is that they don't have a rumen like cows do, so they don't have the same stomach structure. Instead, they have an unusually large crop. What do you know what a crop is? It's like
something.
It's like listen, we're going off of my biology from college, but a crop is like a mechanical stomach where like a lot of times birds will eat like rocks and stuff to digest
that
things.
Yes. Wow, that's a throwback.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And so they have just one of those that's really big. And then there's like extra chambers in there, and then they have like a large multi-chambered esophagus. Oh, they just got like weird shit going on leaves.
But like the point being, they have a lot of different evolutions so that they can specifically eat leaves.
Exactly. And because they have all of this, it's It takes place of where their flight muscles should be and the keel of their sternum, so they're really bad at flying.
Yeah.
So in order to eat leaves, they are shit flyers, basically, is kind of the trade-off, which seems like a bad trade.
Okay, can we time out real quick?
Sure.
Have either of you, I think you have, played the game Evolution?
Yes.
No.
The board game? It's like Wingspan, but you create your own animals.
I also have that.
You do?
I do.
When did you get that?
I've had it for a long time, but all I ate half of it, so.
It's been around since pre-pandemic. I got it right after Steve and Carla got it. Because I had so much fun playing it with them.
It's fun.
And you create your own animal with the base of like trying to beat all the other creatures in Evolution.
That sounds awesome.
It's good.
And it is so much fun. But what you just described, like, okay, these guys were like, well, we don't need to fly, but we'd really like to eat leaves.
Yeah.
So that's one of the parts of this game is like, well, I'd really like to be able to climb trees, but I also really want to be a predator. So like, I have to forego one of these.
Yeah.
And that just, that made me think of the game in like how Evolution decides how to spend its energy.
You know what? You can't have it all.
Yeah.
That's what Evolution has decided. You know what? You can't have it all.
It really has decided that.
If there's one takeaway.
So wait, are there like, I feel like there's not a lot of birds that are folivores that eat leaves.
Honestly, like, I think you're right.
Like, because I never really thought of that. Like, there's lots to eat, like, fruits and berries and things.
Yeah.
And there's predators, but, like, there's not a lot of leaf-eating birds.
Because a lot of times, like, even, like, I feel like, I know there's a couple of monkeys and, like, proboscis monkeys and stuff like that that eat leaves, but it means you have to sit around for a large part of the day.
You're super lazy.
Right.
Like, you can't do like, anything because you're digesting
energy intensive.
Fucking ever.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Not a lot of leaf-eating birds.
The Hwatzen is the only bird with a digestive system that ferments vegetation as a cow does, which enables it to eat leaves and buds.
I mean, I give you 70% of that information. But isn't it wild?
But it says the
that
only,
is
like the only
super cool.
Just so you know, I googled leaf-eating birds, and the Hwatzen is the only thing that came
this
up.
This is truly fascinating. I'm so happy to learn this.
Wait, but yeah, it takes 45 hours for their meal to pass through their body.
That's so
like,
long!
Okay, I guess I'll just wait here and see what happens. And because of this bacteria fermentation, it makes them smell pretty bad. Apparently it's manure-like. So they are rarely hunted by humans and also referred to as stink birds.
Yes. Stink birds. You guys are stinky.
So why are they cool? Well, one, that. But also, I first learned about them because of the baby claws. Do you know about the baby claws?
No.
No.
Okay. So Hwatzen chicks, when they hatch, they have two claws in each of their wing that they can immediately use as soon as they hatch. So basically if the nest, it's an adaptation that if the nest is attacked, like the parents will defend it and they'll like try and hide. But if the babies can't hide, they just jump out of the nest into the water. They just full on free fall out of the nest. But because
they just yeet themselves out of the water.
Exactly. Okay. And it's, but because they have these claws, they can then climb back into the nest.
Oh,
so it's like a very specific adaptation to be able to like crawl their way.
That's pretty badass.
Tiny baby chicks crawling their way.
That's pretty cool.
But having these claws is like pretty, kind of a reptilian thing. So it was often, they're often compared to the Archaeopteryx. Do you remember this from biology 101? It's the like very famous skeleton.
He's in the ground like that.
It's like the like crossover like reptile bird.
Great.
Like,
some of us didn't take fucking biology in college.
I was a bio TA. No brag there. But so the Archaeopteryx had three functional claws on each wing. But it is believed that the Hwatzen is a more recent adaptation and that's not actually related. But it's just a comparison that happens often. But it's just a very like reptilian adaptation that it has.
Isn't it cool that instinct alone teaches this young chick that like, okay, there's a threat in the nest, your parents have tried to defend it, you need to like, that hasn't worked, you need to just jump,
get
like
out,
GTFO,
yeah, and abandon ship, and then once the threat has passed, just make your way back up,
right? Little crawl. Also, can you imagine seeing that, a tiny little baby chick just up to the nest
crawling up the I mean, the chances of your survival when you're that exposed, I can't imagine are that great.
I mean, it's enough to keep this adaptation going.
I mean, Hawatson have, like, moved way up on my list after this.
Yeah?
They're
top ranking now?
Very cool, yeah.
They're very cool.
I just knew they were weird looking and stinky from South America. That's all literally all I knew. Now,
I knew they were colorful. That was it.
Yeah.
Very. So I got to introduce you guys. Or further introduce you. But so, how are humans screwing with them? I mean, they live in the Amazon. So their biggest threat is deforestation. But they are rarely hunted, again, because they have a reputation of being stinky, but they also have a reputation of tasting bad. So unless, like, absolute, like, oh, I really do need food kind of thing, their eggs are hunted, like, a little bit, but nothing that's detrimental to their population. So it's mainly deforestation. And other than that, I'll leave you with a nice fun fact that they are the national bird of Guyana. So, cool.
That's a very fun fact.
That's great.
But that is the Hwatson.
What a wonderful
bird.
Wow.
Well, yeah, isn't that a fun one?
That was great.
That was good.
Thank you. Yay.
Well, I will say I have the closing rant. Just a reminder that we are animal enthusiasts, with the exception of Taylor, who is in fact an expert.
Fuck. Asterix.
Do your own research. We just want to get you excited about animals the way we are. Thank you for joining us on this episode, especially you, Taylor. Well done. We started late. We ran late. And you just powered through, and that's...
Thank you for having me.
And you got another beer, so I hope
I lived up to the, you know, the expectation. And thank you for the free beers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what we're here for, is free food, free beers, and stealing your time. But thank you for joining us. If you like our podcast, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening and leave us a review. It'll help us reach more animal enthusiasts. You can also find us on Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod, on YouTube at The Watering Hole Pod, and you can visit our website. Guess what? It's thewateringholepod.com. Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it.